You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app.
All right, we are live. It is Minor Talk represented by Jack in the Box. I'm Adrian Broaddus. Along with me is Sal Montes. We've got no Zay Galindo, no Alberto Retta, but we got George Guardado joining us here right now. Well, we also have Chris and Inspo Lens in the house. We're live streaming this on Twitter and X, live streaming this on Facebook and on YouTube as well. Of course, if you listen to us on our podcast channel, we appreciate you. We ask that you like, rate and review us on our podcast channel, and that is Minor Talk wherever you listen to us on demand. Well, another UTEP loss. UTEP is now 0-6 on the season. Not a huge surprise right here. Miners halfway through the season right now, and 0-6 reeling on the year. 44-17, that's the finish for the Miners tonight against Western Kentucky. And you know, there's a lot of disappointing sides to it. Number one, you're going to talk about just right off the bat. I mean, UTEP has a lot of injuries, and the injuries have really piled up. Number one, you're going to start on the defensive side going into the game. No A.J. Odoms. No Corey Chapman, who dealt with a concussion injury. Not sure what's up with A.J. Odoms, although I've heard that, as far as his injury or whatever's going on, it just kept him off here today. Cade McConnell gets hurt in the game. It's a wrist injury. You heard from head coach Scotty Walden afterward. They're unsure of the timeline for him, if this is going to be something that they can quickly treat or if this will take a while. Skylar Locklear came in as a relief. And Sal, I'll bring you back on this one, man. It's a disappointing loss for UTEP fans. Not a huge surprise. You called this. You thought that it would be kind of, and it would go just kind of like how we saw here for Western Kentucky. But now the Miners are 0-6 on the season, and offensively there's just a lot of problems. 11 total touchdowns on the year for UTEP's offense, averaging margin of defeat of almost 20 points a game, and they're only scoring 16 points a game at this point.
Yeah, and quite frankly, that's not enough. And also, too, it's kind of a misnomer with some of those points coming by way of not being the offense. So offense has been a really, really troubling and troublesome part for this team. The defense, I think they kind of hold their own up to an extent. But two things were very, very revealing today, and that's they're just no match with Western Kentucky. Even if UTEP showed up on their best day, I still think Western Kentucky's just too quick, too smart out there. So this was a game that no matter what, they were going to lose this one. But other than that, though, the defense is hanging on and keeping this team in it. Unfortunately, the offense is not doing anything with the turnovers that the defense forces or the field goals that they force, and just something that they got to get better at. However, the roster's not changing from now until the end of the season. I don't know if the philosophy is going to change from now until the end of the season, so we could be seeing some more of the same.
Yeah, and I think we probably will. I mean, honestly, this is the time of year when conference play starts. Some of the people start to distance themselves from others, and for the Miners, I think they're just finding themselves behind. I mean, you heard from head coach Scotty Walden, if you're realistic up to this point, you understand. I mean, UTEP's probably not going to beat the likes of Liberty, the likes of Colorado State, even, you know, the likes of course, Nebraska, or what we saw tonight, even Western Kentucky. They're not likely going to beat them here in year one of this new coaching staff. But I think that fans hoped that the offense would be further along up to this point. And then defensively, I know that there were some strong points. I know there's some good points for this team. But, you know, defensively, I think they allow those big plays, and I think those big plays kill them. There's some bright spots. You know, I'm not going to say complete doom and gloom. Azelle Jolly getting the run game going, I think that's all right. I think it's, you know, fine that the Miners had some success on the ground tonight where they've really struggled throughout the season. I also really like the freshmen. I like the young players are playing. Jalen Jones, Kyron Duhon, those are two guys who stand out to me in real big ways. Tonight we saw a lot of these younger guys get chances. We saw guys like Stratton Schufelt, who played a lot at probably the halftime point of this game. He led the team in tackles. He finished this one up with 7 total tackles. He had a pass breakup that ended up in an interception for that UTEP defense. And that was Lance Russell grabbing that interception when it was all said and done. Trace Meadows getting some time on special teams as well. You know, they're even throwing Emery in the mix, Brown Tucker in the mix. So, yeah, a lot of the freshmen getting some playing time. Sal, do you feel like that's like a positive note here for this UTEP football team? Is this something that you take away as a positive or a standout here, a notable thing here for this team?
I think it's a positive as long as those guys – have no choice but to play. And what I mean by that is they're out there because the red shirt is not an option at this point. I think if there's some guys that you could kind of retain for next year, there's no point in using them for this season. You're going to waste a year of their eligibility on a really bad year. So that's something that I wouldn't stand for. The only other reason for someone to play is if that position is just decimated with injuries and there's no choice but for them to come in and fill that void. So you know what I mean. I'm on board if they're within the parameters of those 4 games. But beyond that, if they have to lose their red shirt just because they're in too deep, that's kind of disappointing.
Yeah, I would be curious the philosophy on the red shirting thing, because Shea Smith today obviously doesn't play any quarterback tonight, but he does play on kickoff. So that does count to, you know, one of his 4 games on the season of what he's allowed to do before actually red shirting. So it's a good point you bring up, Sal. What's the priority? How many games do you actually give him? Do you only have them at 4 so that way you could preserve that year of eligibility? I'm not sure, but it seems like they're leaning to playing these guys and playing a lot of these freshmen here moving forward. So curious to see how it all shakes out, or the philosophy, how that really turns out to be here when it's all said and done. But for this UTEP football team right now, it's their own 6. And George Guardado will bring you on the show here right now to give your thoughts. You talked a lot about the offensive inefficiencies right now for the Miners that have really plagued them to start off here. But your thoughts on this game here tonight? I mean, the Miners had chances at points. It was a 10-point game in the third quarter, 27-17. Look, they take the opening half kickoff for a touchdown thanks to Corey Wren, and it feels like the Miners are in it. But, you know, the offensive inefficiencies just hold them back.
Yeah, Adrian, honestly, I mean, they were even closer than that in the first quarter. 7-7, and they had the ball. I mean, we're talking about having a chance to take the lead for the first time since the Southern Utah game. You know, that's a long time, and just more opportunity squandered, and that was one of them. You talk about how inefficient the offense is. 5.1 yards per play. Meanwhile, Western Kentucky on the other side averaged 7 yards a play. And you know, the raw stats are just the beginning, but it's stuff like, you know, fourth downs that they're just not coming up big in, and obviously the complete lack of a downfield attack that just makes them too predictable on offense.
Well, yeah, I mean, you look at the passing difference. Cade McConnell, 3 for 7, 96 yards. He has that big touchdown pass, or that play, I should say, to Kenny Odom. But outside of that right there, outside of the big Kenny Odom play, which was 76 yards, what are you doing offensively? I mean, Skylar Locklear, 11 of 17, 82 yards. Sal, that tells me it's all short passes. All they trust Skylar Locklear to do right now offensively in the passing game, you know, think of whatever you want to think of Skylar Locklear. I thought he played a fine game, knowing that it was very vanilla and they were pretty much out of it in that game at that point. But when Skylar comes into the mix and he tries to, you know, throw the ball, they're simple short passes, man. It's nothing long, and that's just a reality.
It's kind of like in basketball, right? Like, hey, just get to the free throw line, make a free throw, and then you can get your rhythm going. That's kind of how it feels with the football team. It's like, hey, Skylar, go out there, just throw this quick dink and dunk so you could get going. But it's very predictable. These teams know where they're going to go, and some of the stats that they have, the wideouts are, they literally put the wide and wide receiver. They're way on the left, they're way on the right. As soon as they catch it, there's nowhere to go but really inside, because a couple steps, they're out of bounds, and what, 1, maybe 2 yards, which is detrimental at that point. So it's very predictable what, you know, with the sets that they have. And the defense has a lot of film on UTEP now. There's 6 more games left. this is another game that guys can feast off of when it comes to preparation.
Yeah, and that's another thing. I mean, as other teams are starting to improve, UTEP seems to be, you know, either taking steps in certain directions, then taking steps back in other directions. So scoring offensively has still been a struggle for the Miners. You know, touchdown scoring is still an issue for UTEP. And then, you know, fourth down conversions. They had a lot of different chances. They took chances. 0 for 3 on fourth down plays tonight. 8 for 15 on third down. So, you know, you just talk about this team right here. They run almost the same amount of plays as Western Kentucky, 65 plays to 69, yet Western Kentucky, 482 total yards, UTEP 330. That's the bottom line. That's your numbers right there. So we can talk about it with you here on the phone lines, 915-505-6009. We can also chat with us on Instagram, on Twitter and X, on Facebook, and of course on our free mobile app, 600 ESPN El Paso. Use the hashtag MinorTalk and we'll read your post live here on the show with us. But let's jump out to the phone lines. Let's get started right. It is Ronnie who's going to open up the show with us. Ronnie, good evening, man. Thanks for weighing in. Thanks for hanging in with us late. You give us your thoughts on this one. Miners get pretty much destroyed in this one when it was all said and done. Final score, 44-17.
Hey, I don't know what you guys are talking about, but I love it. I love everything that's going on right now with Miners football, because when Scotty Walton, first of all, let me back up. If Jim Center knew he'd be hiring a coach to be coaching the Mountain West, probably doesn't even hire Scotty Walton, okay? Let's say he does. If Scotty Walton knew he'd be playing the Mountain West soon, he probably doesn't bring half the kids he brings. So I actually love what's happening right now, because it's an eye-opening experience that we got to get better. We got to get better across the board. And there's not a single player on this team that Scotty should feel like, hey, I'm taking this kid with me to the Mountain West. And we talked about when you raise up in conference, you got to raise up in recruiting. That only happens when coaches are slapped with the hard reality of what I have or what I'm doing, one or the other, or a combination of both, just isn't good enough. So I actually love what's happening right now, because we do not have a quarterback on this roster that we can take to the Mountain West. We don't have a defensive secondary that can stop anybody in the Mountain West. You know what I mean? And so that's only going to happen when coaches, because coaches are stubborn people for the most part, right? So it's kind of what makes them so good and so bad. And it only happens when you don't have success. If the Miners were 3-3 or 4-2 right now, that would be the worst thing for us. And I think people need to understand that. If we were 4-2 right now, Scotty would be thinking that Skyler Locker was his guy, and that I can take this kid and I can take that kid and I can take this kid. We can go to the Mountain West. And guess what you'd be? You'd be 0-6 in that conference. So I'd rather be 0-6 right now in this crap CUSA, so that Scotty can go back to the drawing board when the season's over with, hit the portal, get some better high school recruits, get some fillers out there, maybe add a coach or two who can recruit some of these big fish you're going to need, and go back to the drawing board so you can step into the Mountain West Conference and try to have some sustainable success there. So I actually love what's happening right now.
All right, you gave me a lot of anxiety, though, Ronnie. You gave me a lot of things to be anxious about, because you just opened up a can of worms that I wasn't in a reality that I wasn't ready to face. I don't think I was ready to really understand that UTEP is their last year and CUSA is next year. And if UTEP isn't prepared to hit the Mountain West, for whatever the Mountain West looks like in 2026, you could tell me UNLV is the worst team, you could tell me Nevada is the best team, whatever. Whatever by 2026, whatever you want to tell me that Mountain West is going to look like, UTEP needs to be competitive. And if you're telling me that this year is kind of that write-off year, and that this year it tells you I guess it's the eye-opening type of year, and you say, hey, use this year to show you what you need in recruiting for the future, what you need. That's a lot of pressure, Ronnie, that you put on the program for that offseason. And you're really putting a lot of pressure to actually nail that offseason, because if you don't have a better season next year, or if you don't take a step forward in 2025, then what does that bring you into that 2026 season when they go to the Mountain West?
Okay, well, let me say this. What Division I head coach don't have freaking pressure season to season in this business?
That's a good point. I like that point. That's a good point, too.
I mean, dude, you don't take this job in the greatest Texas city if you ain't want the pressure, because it's going to come with pressure. It's going to come with pressure. And if, guess what? If it's too much, raise your hand, and I guarantee you we'll have a new coach in 20 minutes, because people want to come and have that. That's what the highest level of sport at the college level is about. It's about pressure, man. You don't think Kalen DeBoer better win his next game after losing to Vanderbilt?
it's pressure all around, dude. So which type of pressure you want? I'd rather have the pressure of UTEP have got to rewrite that ship than trying to follow Nick Saban's footsteps, I can tell you that.
That's a good point. That's a good point right there. I like it. And then you could write your own story. You could write your own history right there in a program that really never had a lot of history. Ronnie, I like the thought. I appreciate it. Thank you for weighing in. Thank you for the thoughts. Really compelling stuff right there. Hadn't really thought about that, but I always appreciate you for spinning new narratives, new thoughts. We got to keep moving. We got a couple other calls to get to. But Sal, I want to get your thoughts. Some interesting stuff there by Ronnie and what he was saying there.
It's crazy because we've seen UTEP beat 0-6 in the WAC when they were losing to Cal Poly and you know, all of these other schools. We've seen them be 0-6 under Coach Kugler, under Coach Dimmel, now under Coach Walden. And I get it. It's something to look forward to towards the Mountain West, but there's a gap basically from now until they join that conference. And if there's no progress made still in Conference USA, that they haven't made a Conference USA championship game in, although they're the longest tenured member as of now, that's a real problem. So I said this a couple episodes ago, UTEP is somehow winning the fans back. You get a packed house or a crowded spot, the Sun Bowl against Southern Utah, and you drop that one. We saw what happened to three other games that were near sellouts, you know, the couple of years ago. So I don't know how they're winning these fans over. However, these next 2 years are going to be crucial. You do want to see improvements, and there should be improvements made from basically, I'm not going to count the Nebraska game. I think we could kind of throw that one away. But their first home game this year all the way up to their last game in November. If there's no improvements there, what can you really take away from the year? Are you going to have to wait until the middle of next year for a fair evaluation? I know that the first year, I don't want to say it's a complete wash. That's not what I'm saying, but I expect this team to not go out and win every single game. I'm looking at this schedule. I'm like, I think maybe two wins, 2 to 3 at the beginning of the year. Now it's kind of looking like zero. However, in year two, is it going to be the same conversation? And if it is, that's a real problem.
And that might end up being, Sal, it might end up being the case. I mean, I don't know if this is that quick of a rebuild to where you could just catapult to year two and already get 4, 5, 6 wins right there in year two. I think this is a tougher rebuild when you talk about the roster overhaul, when you talk about the reconstruction that's really taken place. And you see it in the trenches. You really do. I think it's easy for us to say that as just football casuals, as we should call ourselves for me being media members. But at the same point, when you just watch them in the trenches, doesn't take a genius to realize physically UTEP is not on the same playing field as some of these other schools. Let's keep it moving. Our telephone number, 915-505-6009. We've just freed up one phone line. If you'd like to weigh in, 915-505-6009. Carlos is next up on the phone lines. Carlos, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. First things first, my guy Ronnie just never misses, it seems like. God, you know, shout out that guy for real. You know, I really don't expect a lot anymore. I'm kind of packing it in. The defense, I'll give them their credit. They play well. I see glimpses here and there. But the offense, good Lord, if I have to see another screen, I'm going to lose my mind. And, you know, we can always talk about, oh, well, Schuyler played an okay game. Not to me. I mean, there were times where he just didn't look down the field. I'm talking about that 3rd and 10 maybe, when they were down 17-27. Azeal Jolly just goes to the flat and he throws it immediately, not even worrying about the play.
Yeah, can I jump in here, Carlos? I just want to say something because I didn't want to miss this, and I think you're exactly right for calling it out, but I just want to be clear about where I stand on the Schuyler Locklear experience. As far as where I feel like he played a fine game, and when I said those comments, look, the coaching staff is only going to require him to throw passes that are 5, 7, you know, 9 yards out. That's about it. He's not looking downfield, and he's looking at that first, second read, and that's where he's going. I mean, just look, I don't know if it's the inexperience type of thing or he still needs to get acclimated. This is only, what, his 5th game of college football at this level? Yeah. I don't think that's necessarily an excuse, but it's just the reality of where they're at. They didn't really recruit experienced, you know, junior college or an experienced FBS transfer at the quarterback spot.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, like, I know it sounds like I'm criticizing Schuyler. No. Like, he's doing what the game plan calls for. But if you're going to throw short passes, why are we so dependent upon screen passes that forces the receivers to stop and try to make a run after the catch? Why not implement some more drag routes, closer line of scrimmage, allow Skyler or whoever the quarterback is to get into rhythm? And, you know, the defense has to cater to it. They have to protect that because those are quick, easy completions. And with the guys that we have on our roster, I think they can get some good yak yards, you know, yards of the catch. Like, like this play calling is just atrocious right now. It's atrocious.
You know, I mean, it's hard. It's I think I've been questioning some of the play calling myself on my side, but at the same time, I just don't know if the personnel is there to match it. I don't, and I appreciate the phone call, Carlos. I think that you're on point, and you brought up some really good points these past couple of weeks in the past couple of games here for UTEP. The screen passes have frustrated a lot of fans. The play calling, you know, at sometimes I think it's really creative, and at other times it baffles me. It's sometimes I like the fourth down decision making. Other times it might be a little overthinking. I don't know where they're truly at there offensively. And then personnel wise, it seems like a lot of turnover, Sal, in their offensive line. Like you listen to this team, it's like, oh, this guy's checking in for the first time today. Or, hey, you know, Jaquan Toney, he's now filling in for the rest of the game at right tackle over Luca Matamoros. So it seems like there's just a lot of turnover at that offensive line right now.
Yeah, and it could be for one reason or another, but you're glad to see those changes being made. You know, if something's not working, Coach Walden and company is kind of, you know, taking those steps to do it. Unfortunately, some of those ways are by way of injury. We just got to be real about it. But that's part of the game. You know, it's next man up mentality, and that's what you got to have. So in order for them to get better, you got to be in the game. And I know it's kind of contradictory to what I was saying, like, hey, don't play these guys. But nah, man, if you absolutely have to, throw them in there. But you do want to see some improvement. Basically, these last six games, I think I have to look at the records right now, but it's a much more favorable schedule on the last six as opposed to the first six. But I do want to say something as well. I know that Southern Utah loss, it hurt. Well, I'm going to make it hurt even more because I was just looking at what they've been up to. They're 2-4.
Yeah, I saw this.
That's so bad.
It's so bad, right, Sal? It's so bad.
This is game number six. I don't mean to go back to game number two, but I'm just looking at it trying to compare the first six versus the last six on the schedule. More favorable in the last six, but man, that was a tough one.
Yeah, you had to win that one. It was an absolute must win, and it felt like that one has domino affected this season for whatever reason. And maybe they had another win under their belt had they won that game against Southern Utah. I don't know. Maybe that's probably wishful thinking. I'm not too sure. Back to Twitter next, and then we'll go to Richard here on the phone lines, 915-505-6009. If you want to weigh in, Western Kentucky defeats UTEP 44-17. We're talking about it, and we're also presented by Jack in the Box here on Minor Talk as we continue. Mr. E, Hangbanger Pete, tweets the show. Horrible play calling and switching quarterbacks was the end of this game. Just to be clear, everybody, Cade got hurt. There was no quarterback flip because of, like, you know, personnel decisions or anything like that. No, Cade got hurt in this game, and we're hearing it's a wrist. Pick My Axe 915. What a weird play call in 4th and 8 for the Miners. Jose Reddy, he said, might as well put in Shea Smith and see what he could do. Offense has been stagnant since McConnell got hurt for UTEP. This is also from Jose. It's like watching the Dimmel offense, but instead of running, it's screens. Your thoughts on Shea Smith, Sal, and your thoughts on Dana Dimmel offense?
Man, I really want to see what Shea Smith can do under a full year after a red shirt. So was this his fourth game?
Oh, I hate to get into this conversation, but the answer is yes. Been a little discourse on Twitter, you know, hey, is this his first game? Is this his third game? Is this, you know, what number is this? This was game number 4 for him, and the only play that he got in on was on kickoff.
Oh,
so kickoff coverage, Sal, is the play that he got in on. Just to recap the season for Shea Smith, he got in on the Nebraska game, had 2 rushing attempts and actually a passing attempt, which he completed as as well. He had a fumble at Liberty, and then he played tonight against Western Kentucky. I'm looking at the website. It does say three games. I guess that's what it's going to be. So three games played here for Shea Smith, not four like I just mentioned.
Okay.
But yeah, I thought it was four. We'll call it three, and we'll pray that he could still play just one more, and then they could really have that hard discussion on whether or not you want to burn the eligibility. Would you, Sal? Would you burn it for Shea?
Why would you? What is there to gain this year other than pride?
I'm gonna tell you this. Okay, so Sal said no here for our YouTube audience. Sorry there, Chris. But you know what I'll say is this. If you know that there's going to be question marks on Shea Smith either returning or not returning in the future, don't you just play him to see what you have? I don't know what that looks like. I don't believe in a position change, and I don't know if he's ready for quarterback. I think that's too big of a spotlight.
I don't think you do it at all, and the reason why is there's nothing to gain this year from anybody that you were looking to redshirt. Maybe if there's experience, okay, I get that, but don't do it beyond the fourth game. Absolutely not, because it's a waste of a year for a certain player or players, and it absolutely would be 100% off board with it. So if it was his fourth game, and we'll kind of dig through it, but if it was his fourth, with all due respect, I hope I don't see him out there on the field the rest of the year. Now,
Fair
I want
enough.
To see him next year. Don't get me wrong. Now, if it's his third one, all right, cool. Where would that game be? Would it be the final home game against Kennesaw? Who knows at this point? But, okay, that Shea Smith – no, I don't want to see him the rest of the year if it was his fourth game.
Okay, let's see what
don't
happens with him. I hear what you're saying.
What
I
was
like,
the other part?
The other – well, what do you mean what was the other part?
Because there was two messages in the tweet, something about Shea Smith and
– the other part was I totally went away from it.
That's
I'm sorry,
all right.
Sal.
It's all right.
I went away from the tweet. This is from Jose on the program, and I can't find it, but I'll find that one again. He said offense has been stagnant since McConnell got hurt. That was what he said. Might as well put Shea Smith, see what he could do. Offense has been stagnant, and he just didn't like the play calling. That was his thoughts here on the program. So good stuff. Back to the phone lines. Richard is next, 915-505-6009. Richard, good evening, man. What's happening?
Hey, good evening. It's already midnight over here in San Antonio, or about to be.
So hey, thank you for listening, and thanks for hanging with us, man. Thanks for hanging with us late. Appreciate you.
Yeah. It wasn't a fun time, but I'm just going to call a spade. We kind of suck, unfortunately. But the good news is that a lot of our freshmen have been playing really well, so I'm actually excited for the future. Kind of going back to the talk about the redshirting, I don't know where I heard it. I feel like it was like a random interview somewhere in the preseason or maybe after the first week or so. I'm pretty sure Scotty Walden said that he doesn't really believe in redshirts and that he's going to play people regardless of that.
Yeah, I'll stop you real quick, Richard. He did say something similar to that he believes in player first approach, and the players will kind of dictate whether or not they redshirt, but he prefers to play them.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the boat where I don't like to burn redshirts just to burn them, but that's different for our situation because if we were an established football team with an established coach, it doesn't make sense to burn a redshirt just to get some freshman experience. But the fact of the matter is in 2 years we're going to a better conference that's more competitive. And also I kind of say that maybe our AD is on the hot seat a little bit, right, with the Kugler and Dimble, right? If Scotty Walden's in the pan out after – 2-3 years, right? Like, let's say we stink up this year, which we are. We stink up again next year, and then we go into Mountain West and stink that up again. I don't see him going past that. How could you, right?
I want to talk about that, but I also want to talk a little bit more. I mean, you brought up some really good points here, Richard, and I really like everything that you're saying. I want to play a little devil's advocate with you on the redshirt freshman type of deal, okay? Kyren Duhon, so they're obviously playing him. He's obviously played more than his allotted games, right? Let's say next year he gets poached by a team who says, here's $600,000 to come play for us in the Big 12. Come over here, you'll only be a sophomore. and we love your explosiveness. We think you're on an NFL trajectory. Would you want to play with us? Would you want to do something with us here at this school? And this other, you know, school poaches away a young talent like Kyren Duhon, then what did you do? Or let's use a better one. Let's use a better excuse and say Shea Smith elects to redshirt, and he says, okay, well, I'm going to redshirt this year. I'm not going to play any more games. I haven't played my allotted, so this is going to be it right here. And then somebody steals him. Well, what did you get out of him for just four games? You didn't get really anything if he ends up leaving. So what are your thoughts on that? If I just had to play a little devil's advocate.
Obviously, it's very risky, right, for the exact reason you said. But I think the whole message that Scottie's been trying to give fans is that he's trying to build a new culture, right? So I'm guessing he's going to try to find as many players as he can to buy into that culture and to just trust him, right? Because there's really nothing you can do, right? If a player wants to leave, they're going to leave. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You can maybe throw some more money at them or give them some more playing time. At the end of the day, it's not the coach's decision. So really, this is a high-risk play for a potential, you know, high payoff, which is, I think, what Scottie's kind of going for here. Or at least I hope so. I don't think he's that dumb to kind of just play people just to get other teams free film. So there is no real benefit other than that you're getting players that you're hoping buy into who you are as a coach and what you want to build as a team.
All right. Good stuff, Richard. Hey, I appreciate the phone call, man. Thanks for weighing in. 915-505-6009. All right, we got to talk the hot seat question about Jim Center. You know, the other side to the coin to that, I mean, you know what Richard just spelled out right there. He talked about the Dimmel hire. He talked about the Walden hire. He talked about, you know, even Rodney Terry to an extent. The other side to the coin is, well, Jim Center helped get UTEP into the Mountain West along with Dr. Heather Wilson. He's helped upgrade facilities, and he's committed to, I don't know, whatever it looks like for you know, financially investing into these programs. I guess that's what it looks like, you know, from the outside perspective. I don't know, you know, to all of this, I think all of this is a moot discussion. I just don't think that UTEP is in a place to look for a new AD or anything like that, or pursue a new AD or anything like that, Sal. And I think they're okay with it for what it is. I think they take more pros, and I'm talking about the UTEP front office, the UTEP brass. They take more pros away from Jim Center than maybe some of the misses on the hiring side.
And I think the jump to the Mountain West is something that kind of, you know, move the needle further.
Solidifies it.
Yeah, to kind of let them be in favor of it. Now, Coach Golding is still here, right? We're going to see.
Coach Wallace is still here.
And that was, in my opinion, the biggest hire out of them all. I wish volleyball got more exposure and more revenue for the athletic department. They're the bright spot right now for all of UTEP athletics.
Agreed.
And that was he was here maybe a year or so, that being center, and he made the hire for Coach Wallace. So shout out to that. But on the flip side of it too, Adrian, you do want to see some more wins for men's basketball as well. You want to see, obviously, a win, at least a couple wins this year for football, especially in that transition to the Mountain West. So it's hard to really grade it as if it's final, because things are still going on. But that Mountain West move is a big, big plus.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, there's a group of fans who will be happy this year, even if UTEP goes 0-12, just knowing that they're headed to the Mountain West at some point, and there's going to be greener pastures ahead for whatever that's worth. But I'm still taking away, you know, I still leave this one. It's Western Kentucky who beats UTEP 44-17. We're presented by Jack in the Box, and I still leave this one more. I don't feel like I was let down. I don't feel like I was impressed. It kind of just feels the same as last week. Keeping with the phone lines, let's keep it going. 915-505-6009. Sideline UTEP is with us right now. Sideline, good evening, man. It's great to hear from you. Give me your thoughts. You got a lot on your mind here as UTEP falls again and drops to 0-6 on the year.
What's up, guys? You know, I'm gonna try to keep the fan inside of me just kind of like tamed, because the fan inside of me is just broken. I mean, it's been broken for the past 10 years with UTEP football, and I mean, this season hasn't really changed my mind too much, but I'm gonna be optimistic. You know, I think I just truly think, you know, it's just gonna take some time for him to build this program. You know, not going to happen overnight. You know, UTEP football hasn't, you know, been a premier destination for recruits, you know, in the past years. And I'm just going to give them some time. You know, I'm not going to come on here and just, you know, talk bad about the coaching staff or anything like that, because I like, you know, the goal he has in mind. And, you know, I think he'll be able to project that once he gets his full on recruiting class, you know, come in and stuff. And all the transfers he got from the offseason from Austin Peay and whatnot, you know, I truly don't think this is really his team. I think that class of 2025 recruiting class is really going to be his real team, and we're going to kind of see whether or not, you know, they can play, or, I mean, whether or not they stay, you know. Let's hope they don't look at this season and see, you know what, I'm going to go to a different school. But I'm going to be patient, guys. Like, I think earlier in the year, I think I had them losing this game anyways, you know. I think I had UTEP football winning like 4 or 5 games this year, but I mean, they haven't even come close to a win in the past couple weeks. Maybe the Southern Utah game, but that was the must win they really needed. And just that one kind of broke my heart, but I'm just going to be patient, guys. I think that's what I just need to do.
Yeah, I think we're doing the same, man. And I think that year two is really the year where we expect things to get better. I just think that fans, even though they knew that this year would be a process, be a little bit of a rebuild, knowing that there was so much hype going into the year, I think fans expected a little more.
Yeah, no. I mean, all the cool videos we saw in the offseason, you know, all the cool cut cameos and all the stuff they did was awesome, you know. It was great for the exposure, but, I mean, if it doesn't translate into wins, then it's going to start looking a little bad. But I'm still on the Walden train, and going back to what Sal was saying right now about Coach Wallace, man, first off, I just started covering the volleyball program this year, and, man, that whole entire team, that program is exciting to watch. And I don't mean to put him under the spot here. His first year at UTEP, I think he went like 5-21 or something like that. I think that was – I can't forget what year. I think 2018 maybe 18, when he started,
yeah.
Somewhere around there. Yeah, but look at them now. They are inching away at that top 25 in the country, you know. Like, that didn't happen overnight, you know. That's just watching the volleyball program blossom into, like, this kind of, like, powerhouse team is kind of giving me faith in the coaching staff with – UTEP football.
Okay, I like it. I like it, Sidelines. Good stuff there and good phone call. I appreciate it. Thanks for weighing in. Thanks for giving us your thoughts here as we continue. 915-505-6009. Well, let's not waste any time. Let's bring the man himself. He is the dad of Cade McConnell, Sean McConnell, who is joining us next on the phone lines. 915-505-6009. Sean, it's great to hear from you. I wish it was under better terms. We feel for you and the family. And we're hoping for the best for Cade. We know that he got hurt in this game, and, you know, there were some fans who were questioning it on social media what ended up happening to him. But as soon as Cade went out, you felt it on that offensive side, and credit to Cade for even sticking it out there. Like head coach Scotty Walden said in the postgame show, you know, trying to tough it out, but just really couldn't keep going there due to that injury.
Yeah, he's hurting right now, and I part of me wanted to call in just to talk to you guys and personally, and to let the listeners know that, you know, you got yourself a quarterback there that cares so much about this program and cares so much about the town and the city and everything. And he really felt good going in there tonight. I think he was prepared, and he, you know, I'll to be totally transparent with you guys and everybody, just so you know the kind of person he is, you know. He called me and his brother and his mom, and just in tears, just absolutely standing. He was out on the 20-yard line, and he was bawling. And he just says, I tried and I couldn't grip the ball. So, you know, we're going to let the doctors and everybody figure out what's going on and make the best decision and see what's going on. But I know it just devastated him to not be able to do what he loves to do and to be that quarterback for the UTEP Miners. He's just so passionate about it, and it crushed him.
We know how much he cares. No, I mean, he wears his emotions on his sleeve, and he wanted this so bad. I mean, you take it all the way back to the summer and the spring, and even last year, he wanted all of this so bad, Sean. So that's why it hurts us back here just to hear the story of him, you know, being upset at the end of the game. And I hope things work out for the best. And you know, the one bright takeaway that we'll take from this is the big touchdown, the 76-yard touchdown to Kenny Odom, and the fact that the Miners were still in the game, you know, prior to that injury. And, you know, you see the interception. By that point, his whatever was going on was really bothering him to the point where he couldn't operate at the end right there. I don't fault him for that interception. That was just the injury kind of taking over right there.
Yeah, he didn't have any control over that, and he was honest with coach and said, I want to so badly, but I can't, and it's not working. So that's when the switch was made. But we'll see how it goes, and we'll figure it out. And you know, we got good people that are taking care of him, so hopefully we'll get some good news. But wanted you to like I said, the listeners to know that. But also on this, I wanted to weigh in too about, with the new, you know, the new era that we're in with the transfer portal and with everything else, you know, nowadays redshirting is not what it used to be. You're not building, you know, you're not really building that anymore. You're not taking guys and developing them, whereas it's kind of like, you got to get me now. So part of me, and on the flip side of it, you know, I definitely agree with Sal and you guys and all that stuff about, you know, you don't want to waste anything. But on the flip side, if you've got a kid that you need to prove or you need to work on, you know, maybe this is the time that you actually do it and you keep him in your program, because now he's part of it instead of setting him aside for another year, because a lot of those kids are like, play me now or I'm gone.
It's not unheard of for somebody to get playing time now, redshirt next year, and then be ready by that year three. Like, that's not unheard of either. So I totally agree with you completely there, Sean. I'm praying for you and the family. Hope everything is good here in the future and moving forward here with Cade. And yeah, I'm sure we're going to talk to you soon, to Cade soon, and hear a status update on that injury.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys. Have a good night, and We'll keep you posted.
All right, sounds good. That's Sean McConnell joining us here as we continue on Minor Talk, here presented by Jack in the Box, as we continue. 915-505-6009. A couple more phone calls. Let's keep them moving. Beto is next on the phone lines. Beto, good evening, man. Thanks for weighing in. What's going on?
You bet. I appreciate, first of all, your skill and ability and interest, and you allow people to talk and give their opinion. So, compliments to all your team over there. And the second compliment is to the people that are calling in. You know, we are a knowledgeable, intelligent community. We're an educated community. And we could be, you know, sour grapes, could be crying, could be very pessimistic, but we're not. We're very optimistic. And so congratulations to all of us. And we have to be reminded occasionally, and I'm the old guy around here, so, you know, I just wanted to remind everybody that we're doing well, and we're going to get better. We got to work. And there are three thoughts that I wanted to just share. Number one, respect. There has to be respect. There has to be respect of the university, of the leadership, of the player and the coach. The player has to respect the coach, and the coach has to respect the player. And, you know, you got a father that just called me, talking about his kid. That's respect. So that's my key word. The second word is honor. You know, you've got honorable people. You've got people who say they're going to do something, and they're trying their darndest to get it done. That's honor. You know, they didn't promise that they were going to, you know, just hang the moon every time. But they're going to. Their honor is they're going to try their best and do the best they can. And a little corny, but love. Love. The kid that was interviewed by John, you know, he talked about going to Scenic Drive and looking out.
KD Johnson.
From Houston, you know. And you can't see that anywhere else but here in El Paso. So that kid has compassion for where he is. And, you know, I think those are key words. So we got to just hang in there. And great. Keep thinking. Keep discussing. Keep respecting each other. Keep our honor. And, you know, we can create a little love, as all of us who hang around and call it at midnight. You know, we love football. We love this university. We love who we are. That's really a great fan base. And so we got it, you know, no matter where we play or who we play, we got it. We just keep getting at it. Keep at it.
Okay.
That's all I got.
I got you, man. Beto, good stuff. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for weighing in with us. 915-505-6009 as we continue here on Minor Talk. Let's keep it moving. We've got the mayor, Eddie Morelos, who's joining us next here on the phone lines. 915-505-6009. We won't waste any time. We're going to take more phone calls here on the program. Western Kentucky defeats UTEP here tonight, 44-17. You want to talk about it with us? Now is the time to do it. 915-505-6009 here on the program. And then, of course, we are presented by Jack in the Box here on the program. You could also watch us live thanks to Inspo Lens. That is on Facebook, on Twitter and X, and then on 600 ESPN El Paso and YouTube as we continue. We got one call calling in here on the program. We've got Eddie Morelos here on deck. 915-505-6009. I swear one day we're going to switch our phone lines and we're going to get a better phone system, Sal, that we're going to get a chance to actually, you know, I can't even get these buttons to go, which is crazy.
Yeah. You want me to put it on my end?
You know what? I'm going to have to ask you. Yes. I'm going to have to ask you to put this one on. So, in
so
a throwback.
Funny.
Only because it's
Adrian.
The main.
We got you now, Eddie. We got you now. You're now
I'm
with
watching
us.
You struggle on YouTube.
Oh my gosh, you're watching me struggle. It's just this one line for some reason. It's this one line, Eddie. I have no clue what's going
fun.
On here.
This is fun. Hey. Shout out to you guys, but shout out to Sean McConnell, man. It does take bravery, like that man said, to do what he did. Wow, it's a bummer. You know me, where I'm at with Kate McConnell, how much I think about him, and what a bummer. But, I mean, as a college football fan right now in the borderland, here's my thought, Adrian. I gotta just say this season – let the teams do as best as they can, and we got to look to the future. That's the only way I could feel about it as a football fan and hope for the best. You know what I mean? You know, I'm here in Las Cruces as an Aggie, but I also root for the Miners, and that's the best that we can do, I think, is just hope for the best for these kids, and in particular for the coaches. It's both of them their first years. So that's pretty tough. And then secondly, UTEP minor volleyball dominant against the Aggies. I was there yesterday, and wow, do they have it together. That team has it together.
So
I
impressive.
Expect some big things at the end of the year. So, yeah, man, those are my thoughts on college athletics right now.
All right, Eddie, I always appreciate you. Thanks for weighing in on the program. Thanks for calling us. It's always great to hear your points, man. You take care. We'll talk to you later, man. You have a good one. As we continue, 915-505-6009 here on the program. Great to hear from Eddie Morelos, and great to see that people are watching me struggle here on the phone lines as well. Pinky chiming in. He was saying something about beast mode. Actually, I'll go to fake Scotty Walden. At not Scotty Walden. We still never got the attendance for the last UTEP game. Ain't going to be good if we can't win. Once again, UTEP minor voice does not hold back, and he asks the hard-hitting questions that we are all thinking. Hashtag picks up, hashtag minor talk. My friend, not Scotty Walden, we did talk about the attendance numbers, right over 14,000 for the last home game. Okay. Other post coming in. This is Manny David. Still riding out the season, win or lose, with this team. Three more home games left, and as the season ticket holder, I'll be there. Hopefully a little more improvement next season, and then especially in 2026 entering the Mountain West play. Hashtag minor talk. UTEP Mineto, Joe John Sr., shout out to him, I saw him today. Ronnie, rather be 0-6 right now? Holy hot Cheetos. Ronnie loves what's happening right now. He must be on the meds. This is going from T. Garcia at Flying Miners. Pressure on the offseason, really, Minor Talk? Did you expect no pressure if we stayed in conference, you say? There's just different levels of pressure. Sal, wouldn't you agree to that? Like, there's different levels of the pressure in CUSA versus the pressure of playing in Mountain West, or would you disagree on that?
No, I think the pressure is going to be heavier and thicker when you're in a tougher conference. So the pressure is going to be higher. However, from now up until that point, what is the improvement like? Has there been much improvement? Not enough improvement? And that's just on your side itself. Other teams do their own work in the offseason as well. They can get better too. So I understand this season is kind of not that much to really cash in on, but next year is going to be really, really important because there's no more practice at that point. You're heading over to the Mountain West. This one is kind of that exhibition / scrimmage. Next year is kind of like that next segue into your real conference, so to speak. And we say all this knowing how poorly they've played in Conference USA as well. So there's a lot of pressure. If we're being real, geography is the biggest and pretty much the only reason UTEP is in the Mountain West. Competition-wise, for the two biggest sports being men's basketball and football, they really offer nothing. New Mexico State's been better over the last 5 years. If it was just based off of winning, they would get that nod. Some of these schools, the newcomers in Conference USA, would get that nod. But there's a regional tie to some of these other schools in the Mountain West. So they somehow, Adrian, I'm going to say this every episode, they keep on winning the fans over.
Yeah, for some reason, fans are still bought in. Fans still care. Yeah. And you know what? At some moment, you can't take the fans for granted, and you've got to give them a winning program. So the fans are still bought in. You're right. I would say for the overwhelming majority tonight, it was positivity. I would say the theme tonight was people not really expecting a win, people being positive about other things, thinking about the Mountain West, thinking about the freshmen, knowing that there are injuries on this team, but you know, having a bit of positivity for what's to come in 2025, knowing that here in 2024, the season just looks still like an uphill battle despite it getting easier for the rest of this season. A couple other tweets to get to, and then we're going to start wrapping this one up here on the program. Pick My Axe 915. Like I tell my son, patience is a virtue. This rebuild will take some time. Good to see younger guys get reps. Some of the missing pieces. Getting experience is vital. Don't know if we have the QB on the roster currently. Herman Flores, my thoughts. I don't care about this season anymore. I stopped watching when Cade McConnell got hurt. When does basketball start? Oh, Chris from Inspo Lens wanted us to talk some basketball here on the program today. I'll just say this, Al. I'm ready for basketball. UTEP picked tied for fifth in the CUSA preseason poll by the coaching, by all the coaches in CUSA. Otis Frazier III tabbed on the preseason all-conference list. We talked about this a bit on Sports Talk, but I'm ready for some basketball.
Yeah, and it's right around the corner as well. Another thing we talked about too was there's a pair of games going on at the same time, November 9th, out at the Sun Bowl. That's UTEP and Kennesaw State, and then UTEP will take on UTEP. That's football, and then Utah Valley will take on UTEP basketball. Also 2 p.m. on November 9th. But to my understanding, I think we're covering the football one.
Yeah, I think that's to my understanding as well. George, you ready for some basketball? You excited for UTEP hoops?
Absolutely, man. I can't wait. Otis Frazier is one of the players that I am looking forward to the most, obviously, along with Terrell and some of the new guys that we got coming in. I'm excited. I think this is the breakthrough year.
Okay, let's see how it goes. I'm curious to see how UTEP basketball ends up. A couple other posts to get to. Quinn, at Quinn Doe's 98. Same old Miners. This could be this pain speaking, but it does matter who we have at head coach or athletic director. Play calling was abysmal, so I can't even blame the players for this loss. I'm ashamed to call myself a Miner fan right now. Down bad horrendously. Please, basketball, don't lie to us as well. Oh, man, that was depressing. Man, this is another depressing one. At Beast Mode 54, I think I need to find paper bags to wear over my head on Wednesday. Oh, man, brutal. Alfonso Frias, the good. We have found our running back. Fewer penalties. The bad. Defensive backs have been getting killed all year. Both quarterbacks need to perform better. Alfonso, I'll say this. Has UTEP found their running back? Maybe. I love Azel Jolly. Second game in a row, he killed it today. Career high. 126 on the ground. He was the bright spot of that offense. Excuse me. 119 on the ground. Averaged 4.4 yards per carry. 27 attempts, but hits the 100-yard mark today. Fewer penalties, yes. However, they had an opportunity to go mistake-free and penalty-free throughout the game and couldn't do that. Two penalties when it was all said and done. Maybe that's me being a little nitpicky and not acknowledging that they did take a step forward in the penalty game. The bad defensive backs getting killed all year. Well, they had two down today. Corey Chapman was out. A.J. Odoms is out of this game. Both quarterbacks need to perform better. Well, how about that offensive line? How about the receivers from the last game who had, what, six drops when it was all said and done? So just got to, you know, look at it in all ways. When they take steps forwards in some areas, they take step back in others. We'll give our final reactions. We'll recap this entire minor talk, and we're going to do a legal ID here right now, station identification. We're going to take a timeout right here, our only timeout of the program. You're listening to Minor Talk, brought to you by Jack in the Box. More in a moment. We'll wrap up the show here with final thoughts here on 600 ESPN El Paso. All right, let's do it. It is our final segment here on Minor Talk, along with Sal Montes, George Guardado. I'm Adrian Broaddus. Minor Talk presented by Jack in the Box, with 15 locations open 24/7 here in El Paso and Las Cruces. Jack in the Box is the perfect spot before and after every game. I'm probably heading over to Jack in the Box after this. It's the only place open after I've got the munchies off Minor Talk edition. So love it. Love the fact that we are also live on YouTube, live on Twitter and X, and live on Facebook thanks to Inspo Lens. Check them out online, InspoLens.com. You can sign up for free. This is a new promo Chris is running right now on Inspo Lens. Check it out. Positive storytelling, positive education, and it's all on Inspo Lens. Check it out, Inspo Lens. When you hit the button, sign up for free. All you have to do is, put your username, create a username, put your first and last name, an email address, a password. Very easy to do. You could sign up through Inspo Lens and check out all the great stuff. You can get updates on new videos, stories, live streams, and more, all free. All you have to do is sign up today online, InspoLens.com. And we can't thank Chris enough and the team out at Inspo Lens enough for live streaming us here on Minor Talk, and all our people who are listening in and watching us on Minor Talk as well. 915-505-6009. Final thoughts here on the program as we continue. Trolley Dodgers says that he's checking in and he's listening. Joe Chacon sent us way too many hashtags for me to read on the program as well. But, Joe Chacon says that he's back. He says, I can't wait to talk to you in person and give you my view on UTEP athletics. How about that, Sal? We got to hang out with Joe Chacon here soon enough.
Let's do it. We got to have him on the show.
Okay,
come
I'm with
by.
You. Possibly so. Although I think he's owed us like a dinner or something like that for the last couple of years. we won't hold him too much to that kind of stuff. Delusional UTEP takes. All due respect to your son, Shea. Let Shea sit out this year and learn from everything around him. This offensive line is awful, and Shea Smith is not going to learn with four guys in his face every play. Interesting stuff. George, what's your take on all the freshman eligibility rules and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, it's interesting. I have to agree with Sean McConnell. I mean, developing players isn't really a luxury schools have anymore, right? And not just the schools, but the players themselves. I mean, they've got a small window, 4 or 5 years, right, to be able to cash in the eligibility and parlay it into, draft positioning. So yeah. I think that window's tight, and I think a lot of things have to be considered.
Well, I don't know about draft. Like, are you saying draft position on this team or draft in the future?
I'm talking about like from an individual perspective. Everybody has that aspiration to go.
True,
to the NFL,
that
right?
That's true. And everybody does. That's true.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't be playing in college football at least at the FBS level if you didn't think that you had a slim shot to play.
Yeah,
right?
It's still everybody's dream.
Right. And so I think that's in the back of everybody's mind. And not just that, even in the short term, NIL.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to cash in, like you catch lightning in a bottle, you want to cash in that 1 year and ride the lightning, like kind of like Diego Pavia has at Vanderbilt. Congrats to him, by the way, for beating Alabama.
Okay. Yeah, I got you. Sal, next week is the Hall of Fame game. It's Florida International. and it's a weeknight game. It's a Wednesday game, by the way, so make sure you set your calendar right. A short turnaround for the Miners, six games for them. Meanwhile, Florida International played on a Wednesday, so they won't have to go a quick turnaround. They almost beat Liberty yesterday. How crazy is that? Florida International, the doormat of Conference USA for the last, what? They basically started in Conference USA, since we were talking about dissolving the program over there at Florida International. So that program almost be knocked off Liberty last week, and they're coming to the Sun Bowl next week.
Not only that, did they almost knock off Liberty, but just looking at it, they defeated Louisiana Tech 17-10 not too long ago, who just blasted Middle Tennessee, that being Louisiana Tech, 48-21. So FIU is playing some of their better football and kind of figuring out their identity as well. That red zone defense for FIU is crucial, man. So even if UTEP is able to move the ball, it'll be interesting to see what they can do if they happen to get into the red zone. So it's no easy task, Adrian. Not at all.
No, that's a good point, and it really isn't. And I don't know. I mean, as far as Florida International, they've got an established quarterback in Jenkins. I like him. It feels like UTEP has their number. I mean, last year they got the win with Cade McConnell.
Yeah.
This year, Florida International has to make the big trip all the way to El Paso, Texas. Trip alone, it's not conducive to Florida International for their local time. That kicks off 9 o'clock their local time,
yeah.
7 o'clock local time here.
And we also got to talk about the elevation as well.
There you go.
I always like to bring that up, especially when there's teams on the East Coast visiting El Paso. But just kind of looking at what's going on with Florida International, it'll be interesting to see how they can improve. They're 2-4 on the year. One of their losses to Indiana, another one to Florida Atlantic. Probably the worst one here, that being to Monmouth. But, you know, after that one, they were able to get the win over La Tech and then play Liberty tight. So there's a small window for them to have bowl eligibility. They're going to try and cash in on it.
Yeah, I think that this is a team, if there's ever been an FIU team to maybe chase that bowl eligibility, this is probably that team to maybe win six games. So let's see what they can do. Panthers come to town Wednesday, October 16th. We'll have it for you, 600 ESPN El Paso, and of course, our Minor Talk pregame show out at the District West. I think that's going to do it for us here on the program tonight, guys. I think, you know, between all the comments looking ahead to Florida International, comments tonight, Western Kentucky beats UTEP 44-17. We'll let this one digest for a while. We'll turn the page, and we'll get ready for another Conference USA weeknight game. Sal, what's it like having your weekends free? What do you think about that?
Oh, man, it's awesome. I was like, what do I even do on Saturday? So, no, it's awesome. Get to spend more time with the family, especially when we know that we only got a couple more weeks of this. So is there a action next year midweek?
Yes it right. is.
So we get one more round of this for a conference no hyphen USA football next year as well. So bring it on, man.
Yeah, and then bring on the busy November. November's gonna be insane. Weeknight basketball games, weeknight or weekend football games during the day. So bring on November. We're ready for it. We're always ready for it, and that means basketball's right around the corner. So we're excited about that as well. Hey, that'll do it for us here on Minor Talk. Special thanks to George Guardado. Special thanks to Inspo Len. Special thanks to Sal Montes. I'm Adrian Broaddus. We're signing off tonight, saying so long. Thanks for listening to Minor Talk, presented by Jack in the Box, right here on 600 ESPN El Paso.